Hello, friends. Welcome inside, at least for me, Ben Garrett, the Riverland Roofing Studios, New Albany branch, that little house up top, Riverland Roofing, for all your roofing needs, 662-644-4297, riverlandroofing.com. He's Brad Logan. Hey, Brad Logan. He writes for the Ole Miss Spirit, or contributes to the Ole Miss Spirit with me, co-host here at Talk of Champions, man of the people, right? Brad on the street in Pittsboro, Mississippi. How we doing, buddy?
Doing well. Once again, a huge shout out to everybody that was watching and listening.
Thank you.
For all of the coverage back in Pittsboro, a special thank you to obviously you and Sudu and John Cox that joined us, Jake Thompson, Zach Berry, Chuck Roundsville back on the Spirit. It was it was comprehensive coverage. And, you know, I've shared with you and, you know, I'll share with everybody that's on. It was really neat to hear from so many people that enjoyed our coverage. And it was a lot of people I hadn't heard from in a long time. So it was really neat to how to kind of tie that in to where I grew up in Mississippi, in North Mississippi. And the collective college football world was looking at Pittsboro, Mississippi. So it was really cool to see.
It was pretty cool to see. And your brother Chad gave the prayer. And I thought it was funny. I sent this to you. Where is it? I sent it to you last night. I don't know if it went through. Yeah. It was written by somebody on Twitter. I don't know, but Chad got referenced. Chad Logan, pastor of First Baptist Church of nearby Calhoun City, began the proceedings with a prayer. He went on to say, so since you specialize in extensions, this was Chad's prayer.
Yeah.
We are asking for one more extension here today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Said one of Chambliss's lawyers during a break in the day. I didn't know if it was a prayer or a closing argument. Said one of the NCAA lawyers, if God is against us, we're in trouble.
it was pretty good. You know, Rick Cleveland, who, we have a ton of respect for Rick, writes from Mississippi Today. He came to me while we were waiting on the judge's ruling. And he said, hey, you think you could hook me up with your brother? And I was like, sure. So I was able to do that. And I was glad to do that. And Rick did a really nice article on the proceedings and actually referenced my brother's prayer. And it was so funny, Ben, when we got there, we're getting everything set up and my brother walked over. Nobody knows. It's so weird having my family and having my friends back home, you know, tie into my work family. And so all of my work family and I were saying that we were all talking about what to do. And all of these other people were walking up and my brother walks up and, you know, he had helped me with, you know, we were working through streaming, that sort of thing. He actually gave me a part for one of my phones to help stream. But long story short, I think it was either Michael Katz or Sam Hutchins says, who was that? And I said, that was my brother. And they're like, yeah, right. Not really. Who was that? And I says, no, I'm serious. That was my brother. And anyway, as the world turns, I think I was sitting beside, I think Chase was two seats down from me, Chase Parham. And during the prayer at the end of it, he looked at me and I looked at him and we just kind of smiled because we both knew what we were thinking, you know, having that type of prayer on that day. And that was kind of the perfect kickstart to a wild, wild day in Pittsboro.
Now, is it just one brother?
Yes, that's all I have. I have one sibling.
So it's just Chad. There's no Brad, Chad, Thad, you know, Tad.
Well, all right, real quick, and not to go too deep into this, but Kenneth Armstrong, a dear friend who's also a member of our board, is a local pastor in town. Huge Ole Miss fan. Mm. Good rebel.
He's a good rebel.
And Kenneth was there, whatever we were talking. But Kenneth put on the board about, you know, the third brother, Thad. And it's just kind of a running joke. My dad speaks at different places, and he always refers to, you know, Thad being the third brother. So,
okay.
But yes, well, it's Brad and Chad.
It had been way more hilarious, even more hilarious. I mean, I don't know, way more. I mean, even more hilarious. Hey, Tony, how we doing? Hey, Blair Stewart, we are. Yeah, that's our Penn State friend up in Pennsylvania. Welcome into Talk of Champions, Chad and Brad. I know I was really kind of disappointed. I really thought there was going to be a Chad, Brad, and then Thad. You know, Thad's the third brother. That's the forgotten brother in the Chad and Brad. But, man, busy day here on Talk of Champions. Thank you all for joining us. Our thanks to Riverland Roofing and all of our many sponsors who power everything we do here at Talk of Champions, including Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford. If after Ice Storm or Winter Storm Fern and all the ice really did damage in the Oxford and New Albany and surrounding areas, you might be looking for a new car. And if so, two Ole Miss guys that'll absolutely take care of you, Mason and Brian and the whole crew down there at Allen Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford. Give them a call today. They'll help you out. 662-234-8000, 662-234-8000, AllenSamuelsOxford.com. Ole Miss baseball over the weekend swept away Nevada, the preseason pick to win the Mountain West. I think it's the Mountain West. The preseason pick to win the Mountain West. Doug Miller joins in and says, Christ is King. Good morning, gentlemen. Praying for you guys. Thank you. God is good. Christ is King. And, yeah, thank you for the encouragement, man. But Ole Miss wins or sweeps away Nevada, the preseason Mountain West favorite. About as impressive, in my opinion, of a start as it could have been. What do you think, bro?
Yes, I said all along. And from Media Day, from our conversations with Mike Clement and so many others leading up to the season, once again, we talk about on paper versus on the field. We knew coming in that Ole Miss had addressed a lot of needs. Number one, in the outfield. They had addressed needs, and boy, did they show up and show out with Dom Decker and Pacella. Not Dom Decker, but Pacella in the outfield. And they really showed out the transfers there. But we said all along, and we said it with Mike Clement, pitching had to be key this year. And from looking at everything, pitching was going to be really, really good. And we knew that Hunter Elliott was going to be coming in highly decorated. We knew that Kay Townsend had pitched really well, gave LSU, I think Mike said, LSU one of their last losses of the year last year. And then we saw the transfer from Missouri come in and pitch really well. I understand it's an incredibly small sample size. But at the end of the day, Ben, it's all about pitching. And I thought the lineup was really good top to bottom. Obviously, the question mark, how's Braden Randall going to be at short? There were a couple of spots that he made an error. To me, that was the only spot where you kind of look back and think, okay, how's the team moving forward? What are they going to do from a shortstop standpoint? I'm actually thinking Braden Randall's going to be okay. I think he's someone that has done well at the position. I think people need to hold on with too much of their judgment. I really liked how he played. To me, this is going to be about the long ball, and it's going to be about David Callum saying back, and it's gone. I mean, I think we're going to hear that a lot this year. I think Judd Utomart is probably, and I think Zach Berry posted on the board about how many home runs Judd Utomart needs to break the record.
18 and, more. He's getting that
there
one.
There you go. Yeah, he's going to get it. And so, and Zach's right. I think he gets it. And Will Furness at first base. And, you know, I ask specifically Will Furness. We asked him on the show, and then I asked him again at Media Day last week and said, what's the difference between this team and other teams? And I ask about the chip on the shoulder and the rankings and that sort of thing. At the end of the day, I think it's leadership. And Mike talked about, you know, leadership is the difference between good teams and great teams in the SEC. And historically, leadership, good teams with leadership, with players that have been around a while, that play well together, obviously win in this league. And we'll talk about the league in a moment. We'll talk about D1 baseball not having them ranked in the preseason and not having them ranked again this week. Deal. I think at this point it's a work. I mean, at this point, you know, Ole Miss looks really good, and there are the rankings again. I think it's ridiculous that Ole Miss is not ranked. But, again, that will come. And yes, we have efforted representation from D1 baseball. We'd love to have them on the show to give us some rationale of why they're not ranked this early.
Especially after you sweep away, dominate too, as if this wasn't the preseason.
Yeah, it wasn't like one-run wins. I mean, it was a situation to where – you know, Ole Miss pitched it really well and didn't hit it particularly well on Saturday, but pitched it really well with Kay Townsend. Mm-hmm. He limited Nevada, and then Nevada pitched it pretty well, but they couldn't give up the long ball. And the thing about it, I had a conversation yesterday with someone, and we talked about Ole Miss hitting the long ball, and someone said they need to hit more long balls with people on base. And I said, I get that, and that will come. That'll and come. I think that's where Mike is going to work on the lineup. Determining who needs to be that number one, number two hitter, getting up for 3, 4, 5, and 6. The back half of the lineup looks good. I love Austin Fawley. I think he's going to be dominating behind the plate. And I'll be honest, Ben, I'm really excited about the team. And it really doesn't have anything to do with men's basketball suffering. I truly believe Ole Miss fans are really excited about this baseball team. And judging by the crowd on Friday the crowd was huge. Yeah. And I think in large part, they were ready for baseball. It was a beautiful day. Hunter Elliott's back. And this is going to be a fun team to watch. I'm really excited about it.
Me too. I think it's going to be a team. I might have gotten swept up. I always kind of get swept up in the and get romantic about baseball on opening weekend. I always do. It's inevitable. Baseball is our nation's pastime, and it's different, man. And so I got swept up in, and I was texting friends and stuff, and I was like, man, I think Ole Miss could be one of the better teams in the country before all is said and done. I really do. Does that sound crazy? And they're like, no, I don't think you're crazy at all. I don't want to get too ahead of it here, and I don't want to sound too I don't want to sound homery at all, period. But like, the bottom line is, man, like, I don't know how you could go out of that weekend series and not be, I mean, they checked every box you could hope they would have checked. And yes, they have the toughest schedule in the country, historically one of the toughest schedules ever in the preseason. And Nevada is not your typical non-con. I mean, again, this was a team that was favored, had an historic year last year, won its most games, I think, ever, 34, something like that. Certainly one of the winningest years they've ever had. So for Ole Miss to not only sweep them, but to dominate them in the sweep was, I thought, incredibly impressive. And all the things you wanted to see. Of course, there's still question marks at shortstop. I think Braden Randall's going to be fine, but Owen Pano, man, he got a start on Sunday, and he still can't. He's just not. I don't know what it is with him, man. But it's unfortunate, because that kid's a former top 100 prospect, and everybody wanted him, and he's just going on 2 years now. And outside of the home run against Southern Miss, he just has not shown much of anything. Right? At some point, when you get those opportunities, like those opportunities, are going to start. I mean, they're going to start falling by the wayside for him, because especially they don't have to take the risk with this older lineup. Judd Utemark, and I think Judd's going to end up playing some shortstop, man. I think Judd's going to end up playing some shortstop, and Topher Jones is going to play some third base. I'm surprised we haven't seen much Topher so far, much of any Topher Jones. Haven't. Got to see Colin Reuter, Tristan Bassetta look good. He'd had kind of an up and down preseason, but I mean, it just all are y'all mostly Braves fans? Go Phils. I am a Braves fan. And already they're having pitching issues again. But more than anything else, any Rebs in the bigs? Who are in the bigs right now for Ole Miss? It used to be Lance Lynn, Chris Coughlin, Zach Cozart, Ryan Rollison's still in there. I saw Ryan Rollison down in New Orleans for the Sugar Bowl. He ended up with the Braves, but then got either DFA'd or he traded out somewhere else. So Ryan Rollison's still in the pros somewhere. Drew Pomeranz, like, he had a great run last year with the Padres. We talked to him in the Fiesta Bowl. Yeah. But I think this Ole Miss baseball team has a chance to be really, really good, if not one of the better teams in the country, which makes it even more inexplicable to me that they're not ranked in the top 25, according to D1 Baseball. It was egregious enough in the preseason, but now after that weekend, I don't see how you can still leave them out. I don't understand that at all. Again, this schedule is really, really hard, but the depth of the lineup and the depth of rotation are just incredibly encouraging moving forward. Will Libert looks like a breakout guy. That's 3 years of eligibility remaining. You might look at the inflated ERA from last year. It was like 6 with Missouri and say, well, he's got to figure some things out. That Missouri team was historically bad. They were bad.
Yeah.
And the stuff, the raw stuff, it's all been there. And you saw it on display, a 4-pitch mix. He's added a cutter. He's got a 4-seamer that touches 97. And you're sandwiching a ascending right-hander in between the lefties and Kay Townsend, former top 100 prospect. I think he's about to take a Gunnar Hoglund-type year two leap, or a Ryan Rollison year two-type leap. And I was impressed with the bullpen. I think they have a lot of options in the bullpen. And it's not just Landon Koenig. It's not just Hudson Calhoun. It's the midweek starter, Owen Kelly from St. Louis, who could have started on the weekend for them. They have depth of options both in their lineup and their pitching rotation. It makes sense to me why they're not in the top 25. It doesn't matter. It doesn't. It just shows you, or at least for me, it's just indicative of what a lot of sports media is now, which is just creating things that aren't there. And you know, analyzing your own rankings and stuff. We probably are spending way too much time on it, but it's like D1 Baseball, which likes to fashion itself like the authority on college baseball coverage, led by a guy in Kendall Rogers, who I have the utmost respect for. He's like Mr. College Baseball. And this just looks insane to me. this, I mean, especially after this weekend, like what else did they have to prove to you? Yeah, they're receiving votes, but they should be in there. So I'm very bullish on this team. The schedule is going to be extraordinarily hard, but Tristan Bassetta looked the part, playing right field, the Clemson transfer. Daniel Pacella is going to be good. He's going to hit bombs. He's kind of been inconsistent since he got here, but man, he's one of three returning 20 home run hitters. The only team in the country is Ole Miss with that kind of firepower returning, right? And not to mention, Tristan Bassetta's got 20 home run potential. Will Furness has 20 home run potential. Dom Decker looks every bit the dirtbag at second base that you hoped he'd be. Table's setting. And so I'm very bullish on this team. Shortstop is a question mark. And that's where I think, and it was nice to see Austin Fahley kind of get off the schneid. He was 0-9 with two walks up to that point. Finally got him a 9. But come on, man, that's 10 at-bats. The sample size is so, so small. But knowing that the sample size is so, so small, I don't know how, if you're a national ranking person, you could look at this team and what it did against Nevada, preseason favorite to win the Mountain West preseason pick, and say, nah, still got to see more. Maybe you're penalizing them for what you believe will be an over, like a schedule that's impossible to get through without some real knocks on your resume. I don't know. But I was very impressed with Ole Miss this weekend. Extraordinarily impressed with Ole Miss baseball this weekend. Shortstop, you hope Braden Randall is a veteran guy, can settle it in and just be league average there, because everywhere else, man, you got next level talent. And you're old. And old teams in college baseball in 2026, that's the best kind of team. I mean, I think only one underclassman started on opening day, and that was Cannon Golden, who we've been talking about at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, affiliate of On Three. And you might be wondering, is that QR code still to the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, affiliate of On Three? It is not. For the next 20 days, I am raising money for my friends at New Albany High School who were hit hard by Winter Storm Fern. See, that's them right there. You can see them kind of hanging out, talking. Maybe I can pull it up too. Where's the thing? It doesn't matter. Those are my friends, and they've been trying to put on their show. It's coming up here shortly. That's Mary Beth, and that QR code is just to my personal Venmo. They're trying to raise some money so they can finish this thing off, and all those kids like Ainsley there, there's Donald, they can live out their dreams with Tuck Everlasting, man. So if you feel so compelled, so many of you have already given, dude. It's incredible. Like I can give them like $1,000 right now. I would love to be able to give them more. I've already put in $200 of my own money. So that QR code right there is not for the Ole Miss Spirit for the next 20 days. OleMissSpirit.com, affiliate of On Three. Though we do want to see y'all there every single day. Sign up today for just $1 to try us out. But after that, like after the 20 days, we'll get back to it. For now, we're trying to raise some money for my friends in New Albany, the New Albany High School Musical Theater Department and their production, Tuck Everlasting. If you feel compelled, no amount is too small. If you're a student, like I ain't got no money, bro, I promise you a dollar's fine. A dollar will help tremendously. A dollar, $10, $100. We had 84,000 people watch the proceedings in Pittsburgh on Thursday. And all I could think was, man, if we had like 800 people give a dollar, you know what I mean? Like, or 8,000 of 84,000 give a dollar, right? We could fund this and many other, because I want to do more charitable things for like local community stuff moving forward. I want to go to Corinth. I want to go back to Pittsburgh. You know what I mean? Maybe like the Pittsburgh Tigers, you know, need something. But if you feel so compelled, man, wait, was AJ Brown traded to the Giants today?
I don't think so.
Okay. I know there's rumors of that, but like now in the chat, they're saying, all right, you double check that. It makes sense. It would. I think the Eagles and AJ Brown are heading toward a divorce this offseason. And he was tweeting or Instagramming about the Giants over the weekend, following Malik Nabers and Jackson Dart on the Instagrams and the Twitters.
Yeah, it's nothing official, but it looks like there's a divorce coming.
Oh, there's a divorce coming, and of course, Ben's tortured Cowboys fandom. AJ Brown goes, if he goes from the Eagles to the Giants. Oh, just like we, you know, Eli Manning's should be Hall of Fame career all with the Giants. Jackson Dart with the Giants.
Hey, did you see Jackson Dart and Trinidad Chambliss riding a bull in Oxford this weekend?
I did see that. I'm going to go find that.
See if you can find that. I want to talk about baseball back just for a moment. And the non-conference, Ben, I think is where Ole Miss is going to be able to tweak and be able to figure out some things, whether it be middle relief, one thing Mike Bianco said that I know you guys read about on the Ole Miss Spirit is the middle relief guys are people that can go the distance, people that are midweek starters, that sort of thing. As we see Ole Miss quarterback Trinidad Chambliss riding a bull, or at least he's on top of a mechanical bull. That looks a little more like he's actually riding.
Yeah, Jackson knew what he was doing, brother.
Yeah, he's got the left hand moving, and he's got a little tough heat him in action there.
Trinidad was holding on for dear life, man.
The stick quarterback.
Yeah, but look at Jackson's like he's been bull riding all his life. That California.
He's riding for Lane now.
Look at that.
So, yeah. One thing I will add about baseball that says a lot to me is, number one, Hunter Elliott coming back says a lot in many ways. Maybe the best Friday night starter in the SEC. If not, he's one of the best in the country. So, if you get Friday night, you feel really good about it. You roll on Saturday with Kay Townsend, who has been nothing but good so far. And then you back in with a really good Sunday starter. If you feel really good about Friday, then you split the next two, Ben. You go 2-1 in the SEC with the schedule Ole Miss has. They're a national seed. So that just goes to show me how important this Ole Miss schedule is. And I want to talk just briefly about the non-conference. And these are games that are upcoming that you'll have a chance to see Ole Miss play. They're playing a lot of home games. But this is a situation where Ole Miss can kind of feel some things out. And it's a fun team to watch, too. It's a really fun team to watch. Arkansas State's coming up in a couple of days at Ole Miss. I think it's tomorrow. Yeah, Tuesday the 17th. And then Jackson State on Wednesday in Oxford. And then the weekend series against Missouri State on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Southeast Missouri State will then come to Ole Miss on February the 24th. And then the Rebels will hit Houston. That's where they'll face Baylor. They'll also face Ohio State. And they'll face the team that was in the national championship last year, Coastal Carolina, on March the 1st. At that point, Memphis will come to Oxford, North Alabama. And then a three-game set, Evansville coming to Ole Miss. The first road game, not named Houston, Texas, will be on March the 10th as Ole Miss goes down to face Southern Miss in Hattiesburg, and then it's SEC play, and they open up with Texas, and then Kentucky, and then Mississippi State comes to Oxford on March the 27th. I'm going to say that's going to be a wild environment. So it's going to be really fun to watch this team. I'm anxious to see how they look against Missouri State. I mean, Arkansas State, they always have trouble with Arkansas State during the midweek. But I'm trying to not go all full in with this baseball team from a three-game sample size. But just from our conversations we had, as we talked about at the top of the show with Coach Clement, Coach Mike Bianco, Will Furness is on the show with us, and then I spoke with Judd Unimark, and I spoke with Kay Townsend. And I think someone in the chat talked about how Joel Mangrum loves that cutter, and Liberty has such a great cutter. It's a team, Ben, I think it's going to be fun to watch. Baseball has its ebbs and flows. It's got its ups and downs with players at the plate. But with this pitching staff and the middle relief, Ben, real quick, what's the closing situation going to look like? Do you know off the top of your head?
Landon Koenig.
Yeah.
Marco Cipolla.
Right.
I think Landon Koenig's going to get the first turn as the closer. But, I mean, they have options. That's what I'm saying. That's what I was kind of getting at. They have options atop the rotation, in the bullpen. Yeah, if you want to look at like what Will Liberty did last year at Missouri, you're going to see an inflated ERA of 6. But the stuff is insane. He's got 3 years of eligibility remaining. He was touching 97 with his fastball in inter squads. He's not going to live up there. He's probably going to be 93-95. But this is one of the better starting positions for a rotation Mike Bianco's had in a long time. Kay Townsend's ready to go out there and have a year two breakout. And that's where I'm at. I think Ole Miss is going to hit it. We knew they were going to hit it. And they still got upside they hadn't tapped into as far as power potential with guys like Will Furness. And Will hit 12 last year, but he could hit 20. And it's top to bottom with the line. Dom Decker almost got his first home run of his career, but he's not going to be a homer over the weekend, but he's not going to be a home run hitting kind of threat. He's going to set the table. He's going to do all the dirty work in the field. The one question mark you got, is it shortstop long-term? Can Braden Randall, who in my opinion is more of a utility type infielder, You know, I think he kind of gets overextended, exposed a little bit when he's having to start on a day-to-day basis. I think it can. But maybe he can just be strong enough because everything else around him is so good, in my opinion. Like, I don't – where's the weakness at? Austin Follies at catcher, Will Furness at first base, second's Dom. I think Judd Unimar's going to play some shortstop, going to be one of the biggest shortstops ever, but at some point he's going to have to go over there. Ready to see some Topher Jones. Talked a lot about him in the preseason. Daniel Pacella in left, center field's Hayden Federico, right field's Tristan Bassetta. They can rotate guys in at DH, Colin Reuter being one of them. Cannon Golden's pushing the start, man. I mean, he started opening day. They rewarded him with an opening day start. I like what they have, and I think that they can really compete for a national championship in 2026.
Did it surprise you, Ben? I think Bianco and team did a great job of the portal. Did it surprise you that they didn't go hard after a sitting shortstop at a major program?
Well, I asked Clem about that specifically back in the fall, and he's like, that we just didn't see anything, like find anything in the portal that we thought were improvements over Braden Randall and Owen Pano. So, I mean, you're kind of a victim to your, I mean, or you're kind of at the mercy of the market, right? And I don't think that they, I think they looked at shortstop and didn't think to themselves, man, there's just not anything out there that's an obvious replacement, especially when you got some guys like Dom Decker who have positional versatility to play shortstop in a pinch if he needs to. Dom Decker doesn't have the arm strength to play shortstop on a day-to-day basis. Judd does. Does he have the range? I don't know. But, so, no, I wasn't surprised. I wasn't surprised they didn't go after a shortstop, mainly because the evaluation was that there was nobody in the portal better than those two. Bradley Voiles has been asking us in the chat what we think the record is now for Ole Miss moving forward with Trinidad officially in the fold. Because we need to – I want to touch on some basketball. Trinidad Chambliss is an early Heisman favorite, or the Heisman favorite going into next year. He was voted six, or he finished eighth this year in Heisman voting. Now that he's officially back in the fold, I'm going to pull up my screenshot of the schedule that people mess with, make fun of, because it's a Word document. Looking at it now that he's officially back in the fold, Bradley Voles says 10-2. What do you say, sir?
Well, I was at 9-3, and I'm kind of leaning closer to 10-2 versus 8-4, definitely, but I'm still sticking 9-3. I think a lot of it's going to hinge on that September the, I think it's 17th, whenever, in Oxford, or 19th, when LSU comes to town. I think if Ole Miss can beat LSU, I think 10-2 is very much on the table. I think that's going to be tough, because the problem with that game is if LSU loses and they're squaring, you know, 9-3 in the face. So I think it's a situation where if you beat LSU, then you've got some momentum going to Florida and Vanderbilt, come home to Missouri, and then you may face your biggest test on the road at Texas. I think that's also going to be a very difficult game for Ole Miss. I think it's also going to be very difficult at Oklahoma. That's a place that Ole Miss won last year. Oklahoma's never beaten Ole Miss, which is fascinating. I agree, Drew. I think OU would be the hardest game on the road. And then, of course, you got Georgia at home. So I think there's an opportunity for 10-2. I can't see Ole Miss going anything better than 10-2 with this schedule. It's incredibly more difficult than last year, but I don't foresee it going any lower than 8-4. I really don't. I think 9-3 is kind of the sweet spot for me. I don't know what those three games are, but I think by the end of the year, 9-3 and an outside shot at the playoff is where I'm leaning right now. But I could be closer to 10-2 as the season gets closer.
I'm going to do it fast. Louisville, win. Charlotte, win. LSU, you better win. At Florida, win. At Vandy, win. Versus Missouri, win. At Texas, loss. Versus Auburn, win. You're going to lose one of Georgia, Oklahoma. Win, win. So I got 10-2.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I could buy that for sure.
Yeah, I got 10-2. 9-3 with a outside chance at the playoff makes some sense too. But with Trinidad officially back, I mean, I think, how could, if it were any other team with any other logo on the side of their helmet, I wonder if anybody would question what their preseason ranking would be or
I can tell you this, and I've not spoken with anybody in Ole Miss athletic media relations, but I can assure you, from my opinion, not anybody else's opinion, Kewon Lacy and Trinidad Chambliss will receive the proper representation from a marketing standpoint for any type of accolade at the end of the year. You know, last year we didn't hear anything about Trinidad Chambliss or Kewon Lacy, who I thought Kewon Lacy, maybe Jeremiah Love, but I thought Kewon Lacy, you know, I may be missing somebody else, was the best running back in the country. I mean, it was nowhere to be found in any type of awards because what about the players? It's all about the players now. The current regime is making it all about the players.
Yes. They will be putting them out front of everyone. Oh, my God. Blair said Tyreek Hill was just released. That's not a surprise. That's not a surprise from the Dolphins. Bradley Voles thinks Ole Miss beats Texas. I think if Texas doesn't win double-digit games and go to the playoffs this year, Steve Sarkisian is going to get fired.
Well, I think Texas and Arch Manning really started clicking in the latter part of last year. Mm-hmm.
They really added Cam Coleman and Hollywood Smothers. They're going all in. Like they have to win. They have to.
They do.
They have to win.
I think LSU has to win with Lane this year.
What about Joe's thoughts about Texas? Just curious. I don't know. Look forward to asking him, I guess. But I think Texas is one of the they have to win. They have to win this year. But if there was any other logo on the helmet, you can't convince me that anyone would even be having a debate about this. Ole Miss has two Heisman Trophy candidates on its roster now, back in Trinidad Chambliss, who is probably the favorite because quarterbacks are favored in high. It's more of a quarterback award than it's a quarterback award. It's a quarterback award. So Kewon will probably be like fifth or sixth, which in my opinion is still too low for him, but two Heisman candidates legitimately. We're a long way from like just having to do a local campaign to try to get Deuce McAllister some some Heisman juice sticker. You know what I mean? Yeah. I still got that Deuce for Heisman bumper sticker somewhere. We're a long way removed from that, but it didn't help that like last year that like I know people don't want us to bring it up all the time, but like Lane did nothing to promote them. Nothing. The bar is so low. It won't take much for Pete to clear it, but Pete has already expressed that he's going to emphasize players first. The question is who the other candidates would be with Trinidad.
I was going to ask you what quarterbacks next year are going to be in the spotlight.
Let's see. Ole Miss fans. Summer always changes how I get dressed. When it's 95 degrees in Mississippi and I'm bouncing between the ballpark, the studio, and whatever Ole Miss event is next, I want clothes that are comfortable but don't look like I just rolled out of bed. That's why I've been wearing Quince. Their European linen shirts have become one of my go-to pieces this summer. They're lightweight, breathable, and actually look good whether I'm covering a game or recording a podcast. The thing I like most about Quince is you're getting high-quality essentials without paying luxury brand prices. Their linen shirts and pants start at just $34, and everything is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they cut out the middlemen and work directly with ethical factories. Elevate your summer wardrobe. Go to quince.com/TOC for Talk of Champions, TOC, for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, quince.com/TOC for free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince, a proud sponsor of Talk of Champions.
Obviously, Leavitt at LSU is already getting a lot of talk just because of the location, just because where he is. And also, I definitely want to bring up in regards to Ole Miss Athletics.
We know Jeremiah Smith. Yeah.
If I can get his name right. Arch Manning. Sorry about that. Arch Manning. Thanks, Tony. Arch Manning will get plenty of talk without question. But eventually we want to talk about what we know, what we think we know, and what we don't know in regards to Ole Miss Athletics. That's going to be sports wise. And we're going to talk about some men's basketball. Someone asked me a moment ago, are we going to talk about men's basketball? Yes, we are.
Briefly.
It's real quick. It was tough on Saturday.
Let me do real quickly because we're about to take a second for this. All right. You stop me who you say is more of a Heisman candidate than Trinidad Chambliss and or Kewon Lacy. Okay. I'll just screen share it. Hold on. Like, here are the other ones. Who do you think has a better? This is from ESPN. Way too early. All right, Jeremiah Smith, of course.
Good player.
Wide receiver. Yep. Yeah, but Trinidad's more of a he's more of a candidate than Jeremiah Smith. Julian Sain, of course. Dante Moore, Gunnar Stockton, Malachi Toney, Arch Manning, Brendan Sorsby, Cincinnati transfer.
Yeah,
he'll be up there. Darian Mensah leaving Duke to join Miami.
Yep.
Trinidad. Ahmad Hardy. I don't think that's happening. Marcel Reed. Jaron Kiwi Sagalpolti from California. There's Kiwan. All right. Of all of these I've shown you, Drew Metzenmaker from Oklahoma State. That's an interesting one. CJ Carr. Damon Williams. That's a good little list. All right. Of all of those, the only ones I'd say right now are in the same top five breath is Trinidad Chambliss, possibly even Kiwan Lacy. Arch Manning, Gunnar Stockton, Julian Sain.
I'm going to say Moore from Oregon will be up there.
He just was so bad in the playoffs.
He was. And then, you know, Reed was really good until it mattered. And then he really struggled. Mensah, we'll see where he's at. Yeah. I mean, Trinidad's right there.
He's absolutely right there. They'll say he's a homer. He's my number one. I want to give a shout out to my guy Flip. People have been saying, Ben, I want to see your Ole Miss hat. My guy Flip gave me exactly the hat I've always wanted. Over the weekend, that UM script is the best, man. So I show my love and support for Riverland, who sponsors us. But also, look at that. Look at that thing. Look at that Ole Miss script. Ain't that pretty? Ain't that pretty? I do agree with you, Ovo Bell, two times. Malachi Toney will be up there. The problem with Malachi Toney is a wide receiver. And this is a quarterback award. Let's be real. It's a quarterback award. If you're looking for health insurance, shopping your health insurance, call my man Drew Moak of USA Benefits Group, 601-953-8449, online with quoteswithdrew.com. My thanks to BNA Bank, my hometown bank, for all your financial needs. Call them today, 662-534-8171. I know them all personally. I grew up with most of them. Online at bnabank.com. And for all your Ole Miss merch, College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. 662-550-4330. College Corner, Scott and them, they'll hook you up with the Ole Miss merch. And it's time. It's officially time. We might have to take a camera. You and I are going to Built Different Fitness. We're taking advantage of the opportunity. I'm just saying. But you should do it too for a new you in 2026. Finally getting off my rear end and getting up there. 662-832-0961. 662-832-0961. Online at bdoxford.com.
Hey, Ben, I want to say a special thank you to Hovey Dry Goods.
Nice.
Really nice hats. Have you got yours yet? They're on the way. Okay, they're on the way. This is a really nice hat. It's got the Rebels there. And then this is one of my favorites. This is a green one. It's got the robe.
Nice. But,
as you can see, Hovey Dry Goods. Hovey Dry Goods, just Google them. They'll hook you up. And proud sponsor here. Oh, I'll get with you later on that, Ben. Proud sponsor here on the Talk of Champions. But Hovey Dry Goods, really good caps, really well vented in the back, and has a logo there on the back too. Really good crew. So give them a follow on Twitter. Go ahead and let them know you heard about it and you saw these on the Talk of Champions.
My thanks to Flip, because I love the UM. I do. But I wear a Riverland hat most times to show love for my dear friends, Riverland Roofing. Oh, look at this. Tony says, Brad's not messing up that hair with a hat.
I have this hat up here because I appreciate my good friends at T-Wise. But as you can see, that's a Mossy Oak hat, and it has never been worn. But that's T-Wise.com. We talk about them a lot. But, yeah, no, I don't wear a lot of hats. But I definitely want to get to – Ben, I want to get to basketball. Because I think it's important, and you look at Josh Hubbard Jake Mangum of Mississippi State sports against Ole Miss. You know, you look at what Ole Miss did, and they just never came out of the chute. They never had the energy, and Chris had five players come to the press conference yet again.
So they're gonna find that.
It's just the effort is not there where it needs to be. I think at one point they were down 20 points in the first couple of minutes of the game.
Ridiculous.
Josh Hubbard is just unbelievable when he's playing Ole Miss. I think his numbers were insane. And, you know, if it were closer, you know, maybe you would have some hope for this year. It just hasn't. It hasn't been where it needed to be. And Malik Dia, boy, he showed up Saturday, but where was he a couple weeks before? And it's just been so disappointing to watch.
It's shocking how bad it's been. It's shocking how bad it's been. I don't think anyone there's the whole scene from the press conference. Yeah. Send all your 5-year starters up there, which I have kind of like mixed feelings about that. At this point, like, who's responsible for the players you're sitting up there to not take accountability? You've lost 7 straight. It's everybody. There's misevaluations. There's lack of accountability. There's a lot of stuff that has led to Ole Miss having lost 7 straight games and completely out of the NCAA tournament picture. But Chris Beard, I mean, I think he would be the first to admit it. Part of his, like, he a lot of all of this, like, ultimately lands at his feet, right? I dismiss anybody that said the first year wasn't a good year. They won 20 games. That used to be the measurement for which Ole Miss basketball, graded its success. Andy Kennedy used to always talk about the 20-win seasons despite the lack of NCAA tournament appearances. 20 wins is strong, especially in your first year. Then you go second year. Reach the Sweet 16 for just the second time in program history. You go out and sign a transfer class ranked number 16 nationally. You sign 3 top 100 high school players. And you're this. And you're this. By all measurement, like by the things we judge these things on, it doesn't make sense for them to be this horrible. It doesn't. But it's the same problems that Chris Beard teams for 3 years have dealt with. Lack of rim protection, rebounding issues, on and on and on. Corey Chess has not been exactly what you needed him to be. James Scott, same thing from Louisville. There's a large contingent. East Feliciana Reb says to bring Wade back. I think Will Wade's going to go back to LSU. But right now, if you're looking at what's been the problem with Ole Miss, misevaluations, leadership isn't what it needs to be. The upside isn't there. You haven't had the NBA potential show from Elias Carmardine on a game-to-game basis. And my concern is I don't know if they really even care, to be honest with you. I mean, Chris says they do, but I'm not sure that they do because the effort is not there. Javon Campbell's not wrong. Chris won with Kermit Davis players his first 2 years. Matthew Morrell, Jamin Brakefield. These were all his handpicked players, and they're bad. So there's some legitimate questions to be asked. I think that Chris is going to entertain other schools after the end of the year like he always does, just like he did the last couple of years. I think there's going to be schools that are interested in trying to get Chris Beard on a discount because of how things have gone this year. But there are legitimate concerns and legitimate criticisms that can be levied both against this program, these players, but also Chris and the staff for misevaluations and for how it's turned out. And I'm not I don't understand why at this point, the season being lost as it is, I want to see Patton Pinkins, Nico Bundolo, and Tyless Jordan. John Bowles at Central Florida, he was a top 100 player. Chris Beard, the last 2 years, has signed 4 of the top, like the highest ranked freshmen in school history. School history. Like, it was a celebration when Matthew Morrell committed and signed with Ole Miss as a top 50, 60 prospect. They're doing that now like it's nothing. You've got top 30 guys that aren't contributing at all. And then you look around the country. I'm not saying you need Nico Bundolo to be Carmelo Anthony's son, but dead gum, you would think that these type of players would be getting, like, they should be showing you something. And with a team that's only won 3 games in the conference, with veterans that, in my opinion, have no motivation to win for you, I want to see the top 300 freshmen for the rest of the year. I want to see hard evaluations. Because let's be honest, Malik Dia is gone after this year. And this year has been, unfortunately, exactly what you feared it could be with Malik Dia leading your program. AJ Storr has had some really good games, good moments. But, man, Elias Carmardine, underwhelming. But, like, going into the year, everyone talked about the NBA potential across the board on this team. And now to have three wins in the conference at this point in the season with March around the corner, like, how do you go from that to this if not for misevaluation and a lack of development? I mean, like, this is on Chris and them, bro. It is. It's on Chris and them. And to their credit, they raised the standard. They said, we want y'all to expect more. Ole Miss has been through 3-15 records in the SEC in basketball before. The last year.
A lot.
Yeah, this is not – like, Ole Miss has dealt with this. But the demand was for it to be more, and Ole Miss fans have done that. They've gone above and beyond, and they're getting similar results. So there's a lot of legitimate hard questions that Chris is going to have to ask himself in this new culture for this roster that he handpicked top to bottom to be so bad. Wholesale, I agree with old memes. Wholesale roster changes hurt. None of these players have played together before, and chemistry is huge in basketball. It's just not there. To which is I would say, yeah, and like it's going to be the same thing next year. The exact same thing, unless you can get these Patton Pinkins, Nico Bundelow, and Tyler Jordan, who should be the future of your program, with John Bowl, who's now at Central Florida, who wasn't much of anything to write home about, but like, whose fault is that? Like, I want to see those three guys, and maybe they only win one or two more games the rest of the way with those three top 100 high school players, but at least you have an understanding of what the future might look like. You know what I mean? Like, this has been as disastrous as it could have possibly been. This is worst case scenario for them. Not even close. I mean, like, I don't think anyone would have predicted it being this bad, but this is as bad as it gets. And ultimately, every benchmark we judge this stuff by, transfer portal rankings, high school rankings, coach's resume. Look at his resume. There's no reason for this Ole Miss team to have only three wins in the SEC and have lost seven straight games. The only thing that makes sense, like, the commitment was there. They paid for the roster. You've got the Coliseum. Like, what is missing? In my opinion, it was the wrong combination, and now and you're seeing the flip side of the transfer portal and complete roster turnover every single year era. I mean, they need a lead guard like Sean Padula. They need a lead guard like Matthew Morrell. Instead, they have a lot of guys that are role players that none of them want to break out and be a star. Best I can tell.
I had an assistant coach in major college basketball tell me, and I look, I'm not making excuses for Chris Beard or Kermit Davis or Ed Murphy or Rod Barnes or whoever. But they said easily the hardest job in the SEC is Ole Miss. Now, we could argue that could be Georgia. We could argue that could be South Carolina.
Not anymore, though.
But, you know, that's what someone told me. And at the end of the day, someone said, is Chris Beard in trouble? I don't think so at all. I mean, I think Chris is a really good basketball coach. It just hasn't worked this year. Is this a situation to where Ole Miss needs a general manager? I mean, do they have a general manager, Ben?
No. Well, they have – not an official title, but they essentially have one that does that kind of roster procurement, which y'all are talking about here. But if you're asking me, should they do like the Ole Miss football model and go get a Billy Glasscock or an Austin Thomas? Yeah.
But, you know, Chris has proven he can win at multiple levels. He is a really good basketball coach. And I would argue tactically – one of the best basketball coaches that's ever coached at Ole Miss.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. So it's a situation where I think everybody in the chat is kind of saying the same thing. This Ole Miss probably said it best. This is a team that just hasn't gelled. And at some point you could tell during the non-conference when they were losing games, Chris was trying to rotate players in and out, trying to figure out a spot to get their top five. And that's when he was kind of rotating players in and out. Wholesale changes. Five in, five out. Just really couldn't figure it out. And I can't say it enough. And I said it Saturday. But Travis Perry, Ben, it's just been difficult. It's been difficult with Travis Perry. You know, he doesn't guard particularly well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he just hasn't provided that offensive spark that Ole Miss needed. And it's really not just him. It's so many other players that have contributed to that. And at the end of the day, I think Chris is – and I'm not Chris Beard, and I'm not in his head. But judging by watching him both in person and via video of the press conferences, what's disappointing him more than anything is the lack of effort. And I think not and having
this that a problem effort, back going back to the non-con. And you thought it was just the new team getting used to each other. No, they got paid. And when it started going, they're like, well, what motivation do they have? Think about it. And this is like not just for Ole Miss, not just Ole Miss players. It's across the board. Like, what motivation now does I'm not going to just start naming off different players because I don't want people to think of them negatively in that way because it's not fair. But what do any of these players, these one-year transfers that were signed, what motivation do they have anymore outside of not putting out bad tape? But, like, the bad tape's out there to go out there and perform at their very best. They're like, most all of them are just riding out the string. At least seems to me. And honestly, I never saw the moment where it clicked in and they looked like they gave a crap, to be honest. Like, really.
On the road at Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one. You're right.
Really good. That kind of gave them some life. And then they came home, I think, and lost. Fast forward, they would eventually lose to Auburn. To me, that was the Auburn game was when it felt like they could get some momentum. I think now the last win they had was in Starkville.
It's a cap, a 3-game winning streak to that point.
Yep. And that's why we were saying about the Auburn game was going to be such a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, after that 3-game winning streak, bless you, I was actually writing how I thought. You try, but it's sometimes they jump up and bite you. I actually wrote on the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, Philly Devon 3. I think he's having one of his best coaching jobs because of this lack of effort and all the things they were dealing with. Turns out, no, that was just a brief glimpse of what they potentially could have been. To lose 7 straight after that is an indictment on everybody over there. The talent, there's enough talent to win games. You showed it for 3 games anyway, not just with Mississippi State and winning that game, but Georgia. That's an NCAA tournament hopeful that you went in and beat at their place. They're on and on. Like, this is for all of you over there at the pavilion, this is shameful, man. It really is. It's absolutely shameful because Ole Miss spent for the longest, its entire 100-plus year history, Ole Miss fans were told, y'all don't pay enough, y'all don't care enough, y'all don't pour the resources into it. Like, what resources does Ole Miss lack anymore? Like, the old days of saying, like, well, Ole Miss is the hardest place to win at in the SEC, or if not the country. For 100 years, that was true. I don't know about the last couple, though. I don't, because you were saying, well, if Ole Miss fans would commit to really pouring in the resources, then they could sign top 100 players. They could sign a top 25 transfer class. You've done all of those things. You've done all of them. How much was spent on this basketball team? I don't know the exact number, but, I mean, you're talking about over $10 million? I'm sorry, the commitment is there by every objectifiable measure. Ole Miss has answered the bell, and yet it's still getting these type of results. It's not acceptable, and it falls at the feet of Chris Beard and Company. And Chris is awesome, but this is unacceptable. Tony, thanks for joining us today. Here on Talk of Champions, powered by Riverland Roofing, B&A Bank, Tannehill Carmen PLLC for all your financial needs, but for all of your lawyer needs, your legal needs. Tannehill Carmen PLLC has been serving Oxford for 20 years, 662-200-8734. Our thanks to Drew Moak of USA Benefits Group, College Corner, Built Different Fitness, Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford, C Spire, Customer Inspired, cspire.com. We've been trying to get to this all day, Brad, but we've finally gotten here. What you know, what you think you know, and what you don't know about Ole Miss athletics right here and now. I'll give the floor to you. Knock it out for me. All right, what do you think you know?
What I think I know is I think Ole Miss has an incredible baseball team. Hmm. I think they're legit. I think they're one of the best teams in the country. I think we're going to see that as the season progresses. Someone in the chat talked about how do they need to, you know, take care of the non-conference. With the exception of Coastal Carolina and Baylor, there's one more team that they'll be facing in Houston. It's a very attainable non-conference schedule. They're all at home with the exception of one road game at Southern Miss. So I think this Ole Miss baseball team is going to be really, really good. The pitching staff is exactly what it needs to be. Over the weekend, once again, very small sample size. I love the starting rotation. I love Liberd on Sunday, and I'll say it again. If you win Friday, you split the next two, and I love Kay Townsend on Saturday. You win Friday, split the next two, you're easily a national seed. So I think this Ole Miss baseball team is really good, man.
Yes, I would agree with that. What I know is that Ole Miss baseball is going to contend for, at least in my opinion, a regional host again. The schedule is going to make it hard to replicate 43 wins, but I really like what they have, especially with the top end potential of the rotation. I think I know that this team is a contender. I think I know this team is a contender. Right. What I know for sure is that what you've seen from Ole Miss basketball in the year of our Lord 2026 is complete and utterly unacceptable, especially with the way that Ole Miss fans have answered the bell. They've been told for 100 years that they don't do enough, and they have done it. They've gone above and beyond. The student section, the students especially in basketball, they show up, and they continue to get just completely pathetic results. I mean, the lack of effort against your in-state rival is really what kind of put it over for me. That was bad. The way they played against State, man, we used to ask AK, Kermit, man, pick your guy. We used to ask all these guys about, like, basketball, and they'd say, well, it's not like football. You know what I mean? But still, you want to win because you know it means a lot for a lot of people around here. Now, the Egg Bowl in general and the rivalry is not what it was in the 2010s. Late 2010s, when it was just absolutely, it was vitriolic, poisonous. It was bad.
Well, State had a pulse back then. I mean, they don't have a pulse right now. I mean, it's not a rivalry right now because Ole Miss is dominating Mississippi State. That's why, in large part, Mississippi State and its fan base are really gravitating towards baseball so much. And not necessarily, I mean, they're not very good in basketball either. They were just better than Ole Miss the other day. But what's disappointing, I think, from an Ole Miss standpoint, like you said, when you play Mississippi State, it's one thing to lose, but it's another when you don't care. And Keith Carter and his administration, they don't hire coaches to not care against Mississippi State.
At all.
That's just not it, Ben. And I'm not saying that Chris Beard doesn't care. He cares a lot. But it's his job to make the players care, and they did not care on Saturday.
No. I mean, they could not have cared less. Could not have cared less. And that was dispiriting. And for me, was kind of emblematic of this season in totality, to be honest. This is a group of guys that are well compensated and have potential, real potential, and they just have not cared very much, not cared enough. And unfortunately, the things that have held back Chris Beard teams at Ole Miss for 3 years, lack of rebounding, rim protection, Corey Chest, you know, you needed him to be a glass merchant. And he just hadn't been exactly. Like, James Scott has been a disappointing guy. I remember, like, how desperately Ole Miss wanted James from Louisville after getting Corin Johnson, who you hadn't really seen. You know what I mean? He's so far removed from 2023 being a sixth man of the year for Washington in their conference. I mean, that you hadn't seen him. But, like, they drafted, if you will, Corin Johnson into the recruitment of James Scott because of how important Ole Miss believed he was to be for this team, another NCAA tournament contender, and you just hadn't gotten that. You hadn't gotten that type of impact. Elias Carmerdine has not been the most NBA-ready player Ole Miss has ever had. I missed on that one something crazy. Like, I can admit when I say something completely out of turn, out of pocket, Elias is an NBA-ready player in terms of his game, but, like, it has not shown up in his first turn of playing just American basketball. Come on now. I mean, like, Elias has not been he hasn't raised the play of those around him. It's not just him either. It's everybody. They should all take a moment and apologize to Ole Miss fans for how bad it's been, because this is not acceptable. It's just not. And it's not personal. It's just, I mean, it's the business of what it is. And, like, you know, if it were, like, if this were the NBA, buddy, heads would be rolling. You know what I mean? And I'm not asking for heads to roll. I'm just asking for accountability to be taken that this was not okay. This is not acceptable.
One thing I'll say, what I do know is that what Joe Judge was trending for on social media was completely taken out of context.
Damn right.
What happened was Joe Judge was asked a specific question by William Liston that kind of went off the reservation a little bit, and Joe Judge responded the best way he could. It was clipped, and social media did its thing and drug him, and I thought it was ridiculous. What I know is that was not his intent. Sure, he said it, but in total context of the conversation, it played right into what he was asked, and nobody talked about that. Also, what I know is with Ole Miss losing yesterday to Kentucky in women's basketball, they have to beat Tennessee to host an NCAA tournament game at Oxford. They have to, because they finish up with the two best teams in the conference, LSU and South Carolina, to finish out the season. It was a big, big loss yesterday. Ole Miss played terrible, specifically in the first half. Kentucky played really well, shot the ball at 1.12% from the floor. Cody McMahon, finally, they cut it to six, Ben. Kentucky missed a three with 6 minutes to go. Ole Miss gets the rebound, loses out of bounds. Kentucky goes on a 16-0 run or 16-6 run, and they eventually blow out Ole Miss. But Coach O basically said they ran out of gas in the postgame press conference. So what I do know, they have to win on Tuesday night. We'll be there, the Ole Miss Spirit. I'm sure Jake will be there covering this for you. So, yeah, big an opportunity for Ole Miss women's basketball. They let one get away yesterday. What I don't know, I didn't say that earlier, I don't know who's going to take the place of Deshaun Stribling on Ole Miss's offense at wide receiver. I don't know who that is. And in order for Trinidad to be the quarterback that we think he needs to be, he has to have that big receiver. I think there are people on the roster that could step up and be that type of receiver for Ole Miss. But right now, I don't know who that's going to be, and I'm excited to find out who might be stepping up at that position.
Daryl Gill, Jonte Cook.
Yeah.
Well, now that Trinidad's back, you think Caden will come? Oh, that's a joke. That was a joke. My man Caden couldn't tell anybody no. He won.
He's salt of the earth, man. He just did not want to tell anybody no. And to be fair to Caden and to the Ole Miss fans, they have not drug him, because I think everybody knew what kind of a good person he was. And he just didn't want to tell anybody no. He wanted to go play with his friend, Austin, at quarterback.
He wanted to change his scenery. That's why he talked to Georgia for 2 weeks. He was Stanford trying to get him to come over. But it don't matter, you know what I mean? It don't matter if other teams tamper. It only matters if Ole Miss tamper. So I think I've gone over everything. What we know, we hit on that. What I think I know, I think Ole Miss is going to be 10-2 in football with Trinidad Chambliss next year, even with a difficult schedule. What I don't know is why it's been so bad for Ole Miss basketball. When they've checked every box that we judge this stuff by, and everyone and their mother, I mean, go read national outlets. We're like talking about the potential of this team. How could it have gone so wrong? I don't know how it could have gone so wrong. And I don't think Chris Beard knows either. And he's going to have to ask himself some really hard questions. That culture that he talks about, are there cracks in that now? Real cracks in that. This team did not respond to your culture, and your culture has been your calling card. Who, like, they come in and they mold into what you do, and they've dragged you and everybody down with them with a completely unacceptable performance all year long, including, I'm telling you, man, I've been trying to be fair and balanced about it for a while. But the way they lost, like, State came in here and took over, like, come into your trap and take over your trap. And one Mississippi State, who that used to be, as long as you beat State, man, you get a lot of goodwills. It ain't like that no more. But dead gum, they whipped you. Mm-hmm. And you didn't care. It's a shame. It really is, because coming off of last year, you matched a single season, like, the single greatest accomplishment in Ole Miss basketball history for its entire history until last year was one Sweet 16 appearance, and you did it in year two. And you put this roster together. This is your roster, and you've won 3 SEC games. It's bad. He's Brad Logan. I'm Ben Garrett at Spirit Ben on Twitter at Brad_Logan, COTE, I think is what it is. We both contribute. No, it's not. I didn't. No. What is it then?
It is Brad Logan, COTE.
Okay. Brad Logan, COTE, on the Twitters. Both at the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, Affiliate of On3. Sign up today. New members get in for just $1. This QR code is not for the Ole Miss Spirit for the next 2 weeks. It is to give to a good cause. All can be written off for tax purposes. My friends for New Albany High School Musical Theater, they're putting on Tuck Everlasting, got hit hard by Winter Storm Fern. Just trying to raise some money. We've raised $1,000 for them. They thought it was awesome. We're all going in the playbill. I'm putting all of our names in the playbill. Maybe like the Talk of Champions community. But if you would like to give, just scan this QR code. I can maybe like get you a hookup with some Girl Scout cookies too. Like we could talk about some things. Yeah, look at Brad. Brad's just like, what? Wait a second. What? What? Adventure Falls?
I'm all about those peanut butter patties.
All I'm asking is that you give $5 to or whatever it might be to my friends at the New Albany High School Musical Theater department who were hit hard by Winter Storm Fern, who we're trying to raise money for the next couple of weeks. Thank you all for joining us. Hard to have a culture with all new guys from different schools. It's true. It's true. Blair Stewart says Brad Logan is a great man.
Showing
love to my guy Brad. And I thank all of you for being awesome stewards and fans of ours and joining us here on Talk of Champions every single day. Back tomorrow, 10 a.m. It'll be me and Sudu. Brad and I will be back. Wednesday, I think it'll be me and Zach. But Brad's got a bunch of guests lined up and all this kind of stuff. Go to the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, Affiliate of On3. That's where we are when we're not podcasting. You can read and watch and see all of those things at the Ole Miss Spirit all the time. You didn't just have to be here for an hour every day with us. Scan that QR code. Thank you, Brad. We'll see y'all soon.
Bye-bye.
Man, that basketball team is so bad.